Okay, today I want to discuss with you something from the parsha. This week's parsha, we learn about the inyan of tahara, para aduma, of a person is tamei nes. Torah requires him to be sprinkled with the waters of the para aduma. And in the process, we learn in this week's parasha, in addition to the para aduma, he also must be v'rochatz b'mayim. He must cleanse himself in water, which Chazal interprets to mean he must enter a mikvah. The inyan of tahara, the inyan of mikvah, and there's also a reference to this week in the Be'er Miriam. Be'er chafuru asarim koru nadi ve'am. The Be'er Miriam, Chazal tell us, one of the things that they used the Be'er Miriam for was a mikvah. In the Midbar for 40 years, where did the people go into the mikvah? A woman needs to go to mikvah before she is with her husband. A woman, a man, anytime they wanted to eat the korbanos, the 40 years in the desert, they had the korbanos, korban chatas. There's a requirement to go to mikvah. A person is a bal keri, an isha nida, and so on and so forth. Where was the mikvah? The answer is the Be'er Miriam was the mikvah, and it was dug. The fascinating Medrash Rabbah, how the Be'er, it spread out to all different parts of the camp, and the they converted this Be'er in different sections of the desert into a mikvah for Klal Yisrael. So I'd like to discuss with you briefly now a collection of short yediyos relating to the inyan of a mikvah. More specific, more focused on the mikvah for men. The Zman HaZen, a man really has no obligation to go to a mikvah maker at the end. There's no tumas, we're all tumei mason. Only way to remove tumah is to have paraduma. And we don't have the paraduma, so we all, no matter what we do, we will remain together to name Mesim. But there are other reasons why we go to mikvah. Number one, there's something called Tzilas Ezra. And then there is something called Tshuva. The main reason why we go to mikvah Erev Yom Kippur, almost everyone goes at least once a year to mikvah Erev Yom Kippur, because about Tshuva is mechuyev to go to mikvah. And indeed, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. When a person goes to mikvah, every Yom Kippur, you should dunk yourself in the mikvah three times. Keneged, the words chet, peshan, avon. There are three types of sins. There's a sin that's done by accident, a sin that's done b'mezid, and a sin that's done in a state of rebellion. Chet is an accident. Pesha is done b'mezid. Avon is done out of rebellion. So a person should dip in the mikvah three times. And then there's another reason why people go to mikvah, which is very common among Hasidim, is what's called Tosefes Tahara. You want to bring upon yourself a higher degree of purity. People who are very sensitive to spiritual matters like to be in the state of Tahara, and they go to mikvah. So men, the Zman HaZeh, go to mikvah for these three reasons. Okay, number one, Tfilas Ezra. Number two, Tosefes. Number two is Tshuva. Number three is Tosefes Tahara. So let's just discuss, run through some of that. I have a save. This save was published about 2 years ago. It's called Hatzila Behalacha Uve Agada. The Sefer, it sold out instantly. I remember when they brought the Sefer into Beagle, there was a stack all the way up to the ceiling, and with a very short time, it was sold out. And the reason why it was sold out was because no one ever wrote a Sefer, a whole Sefer, on this topic. It's very hard to find in one Sefer a collection of everything that there is to know about a man's mikvah in Halacha and Agada, in the way it's presented in this Sefer. The Sefer has a very heavy Hasidic bent. You see right away, Litvak is not going to take in a lot of the... it's not going to take this in. But yet, it's very fascinating. There are a lot of things here that really, even on Ogea to women's mikvos, there are a lot of fascinating. So let me just run through a couple of things which caught my attention. Now, first, let me tell you a very nice word from the... Rav Yosef Chaim Zonneveld. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonneveld was famous for... obviously, he went to mikvah, and at least he went to mikvah Erev Shabbos, whatever the case was. And he once told a Litvak, one of the Gedolei Yisrael, who was very against going to mikvah, didn't hold of this thing of going to mikvah. Yeah, there are people that are not; they don't like this. It's a waste of bittul Torah. It's not necessarily healthy. If you don't have a clean mikvah, you can do more harm to yourself than good. If you don't have a clean, in America, Baruch Hashem, the mikvahs are pretty good. In Eretz Yisrael, the standards are not as high as they are in America. And in fact, there are stories even today, people get hepatitis, people, all different types of diseases, cellulitis, all different types of terrible things can happen if you go to a mikveh that's not clean, if you're not in a good state of health. So you have to be careful. If there's no in, you go to a mikveh. So why are you going to a mikveh? You have to be very careful. But nevertheless, there's a beautiful from Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. He once convinced, I don't remember who the story was said about, he had a conversation, the person, he doesn't go to mikveh, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld said to him, look at the koich of a mikveh. When a non-Jew converts to Yadus, they do two things, Bizman HaZed, the Mekabel Kol HaMitzvos, okay, a man is Bris Mila, Kabbalah HaMitzvos, and Tzvila B'mikveh. If a mikveh can make a non-Jew into a Jew, look at the koich of a mikveh, al achas kam v'kama, it can make a Jew into a better Jew. So there is something to going to mikveh. So the story is that the person who heard this was so overwhelmed with this idea, he decided, mikanul haba, at least it won't be so critical, and there is definitely something to it. Today a lot of the Litvaks go to mikveh, it's become a new trend, they go to mikveh Erev Shabbos. Today a lot of shuls have mikvos, they build mikvos, and they go Erev Shabbos, and definitely is much more in style today than it was years ago. Years ago, people went to mikveh once a year. It says in Shalom, they have to go to mikveh Erev Yom Kippur. And as an extension of Yom Kippur, they go also Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay, but that's one very nice idea. Now, what about, okay, here's an interesting chakira. This is a chiddush you saw from the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah is the chakira. When a person goes to mikvah, you can debate this issue for hours, and there are riots all over Shas and Poskim each way. When a person goes to mikvah, he becomes tar. They have a utensil. Let's talk about kalim, the tovel kalim. The tame you put in the mikvah becomes tar. At what point exactly does the object become tar, or does the person become tar? When he's in the mikvah, when he's completely immersed in the mikvah, or when he comes out of the mikvah. So I always thought, I think the average person thinks that you become tahar when you're in the mikvah. When you're in the mikvah, the moment in time, a person goes into the mikvah, your tummy, you enter the mikvah, you completely submerge in the mikvah. At that moment in time, when you're submerged, you are tahar. Is that correct? Or maybe no. While you're still submerged in the mikvah, you are still tameh. Do you know when you become tahar? When you come up. The moment you leave the mikvah, going into the mikvah is only a prerequisite, is only a hachana for the tahara you gain when you come out of the mikvah. The moment that you lift a hair comes out of the mikvah and you're no longer in the mikvah fully, that's the moment when you become tar. The Kesef Mishnah says the moment of tahara comes when you, the moment of tahara is when you come out of the mikvah. Now the problem with that is, the pasuk seems to indicate that's not the case. The pasuk, "V'rochatz b'mayim v'toher." The pasuk, "You shall wash." So it's mashma the rechitza. The rechitza is when you're in the mikveh is the moment when you become tar. But on the other hand, I don't remember all the details. On the other hand, he wants to bring a riot from the Mishnah. The Mishnah has a discussion. If there are two people who go into a mikveh and the mikveh is exactly 40 saw, the bare minimum, and two people immerse in this mikveh one after the other. So the Mishnah says, the first person is tahar, and the second person is tameh. Why? Because the first person comes out of the mikveh, he takes with him, his body, some of the water. So the Kesef Mishnah asks the question, why does the Mishnah have to say the first person is tahar? It's poshet. If the mikveh is exactly 40 saw, and number one goes into the mikveh, of course he's tahar. He's in the water. There's enough water for him. The second person, the Mishnah is telling you a chiddush because when do you become tahar? You become tahar when you leave the mikvah, according to the Kesef Mishnah. When you leave the mikvah, when I come out of the mikvah, I'm taking with me some of that water. So I am now coming out of a body of water that's not kosher. One can make an argument that even the first person is not tar. If you don't like the Kesef Mishnah, think about this idea. If you learn the Kesef Mishnah, the moment in time when a person becomes tar is not when you're in the water, it's when you come out of the water. So one can make an argument, so when you come out of it, you have to come out of a body of water, you dunk. That's the prerequisite. I'm completely submerged in the water. Now when I come up, I'm coming out of a body of mikvah. That's when I become tar. But when you come out, you have to come out of a body of water that has 40 saw. But when you come out, you're taking with you some of the water. It's chaser. So one can argue, even the first person is tameh. So you can say, oh, that's the raya, right? You can say the raya is, it must then be that you become tar when you're in the water. You can play this both ways. Yeah. You can say, so there must be raya since you need to come out of the, you're number one is tahar. It must be because the moment when you become tar is when you're in the water. But the cast of the Mishnah is just the opposite. The fact that the Mishnah needs to tell us this must be the chiddush is that when you come out, even though now when I've come out, I've taken with me some of the water and the remainder is less than 40 saw, it doesn't matter. That's because since when you went in, there was 40 saw, and when you came out, you destroyed, it was a self-destruct mikvah. That's a chiddush. It's a chiddush which the Mishnah must inform us, because otherwise I would not be aware of. Okay, this is a dilemma. Okay, I don't have all the, there's a lot of, I just wanted to throw out a couple, we have short on time, I just want to discuss a couple, just throw out some issues. It's a very beautiful hakira, and everyone talks about this hakira, and you can mean rayas over and over. I'll just tell you one other example. Chazal talk about a person that's a novel bereshus haTorah. Everything is fine and good. He appears to the world that he's a tzaddik, but secretly he does Averis, so he does Averis in a way where technically he's not violating any halacha. And one of the expressions Chazal used to describe a person is he's toivel, Nesheretz v'yadai. Your toivel and Nesheretz is in your hand. And that Maimon Chazal makes sense if the Tahara comes when you're submerged. Because if the Tahara comes when you leave the mikvah, Then you go into a mikvah holding a sheretz, correct? You go into the mikvah holding a sheretz, and now you come out. And when you come out, and you're holding the sheretz, so I'm not in the mikvah. What's the chiddush? Of course, I'm tamei. My head is not in the mikvah. If my head is not in the mikvah, that's not called a tzvila. I'm holding a sheretz. Of course I'm tummy. But if you learn that the tahara comes to a person when he's submerged in the mikvah, so here I'm completely submerged in the mikvah, I'm tahar, but while I'm tahar,
you'll be holding on to everything.
You're holding on loosely. You're holding to on and loose, so the water is still you. So then there is a contradiction. On the one hand, I'm tahar. On the one hand, I'm in a state of tahara. But on the other hand, I'm also connected to a state of tumah. So what are you? Are you tahar or are you tameh? Chazal.
Maybe it never helped at all.
What?
With the sheretz into the mayim. Like,
so you want to say
zero impact.
That's the question. So what is it? On the one hand, I'm completely submerged in the mikvah, so the mikvah is being matarmi. On the other hand, I'm still holding on, I'm attached to a sheretz, and the sheretz conveys tumah. But if you learn that at the high, then when you go into a mikvah, you anyway tameh. A person goes into the mikvah, while I am submerged in the mikvah, I am 100% tameh. When do I first become tahar? When I leave the mikvah. So what difference does it make that I'm holding on to the sheretz while I'm in the mikvah? Okay, so you have to play around with it. Okay, I hear the rush, but you have to take this into the equation. When we have this concept of where exactly is the tahara, when you're in the mikvah, you're out of the mikvah, then you have to redefine these Maamari Chazal. Another very big nafkamina. A person goes into the mikvah and you touch someone when you're in the mikvah. I am completely submerged in the mikvah. I've not come up. I can hold my breath. How long can a person hold their breath? What's the world record for holding your breath? 2 weeks. Houdini. Houdini came from a Shomer Shabbos family. Harry Houdini. He's very in Queens. He came from a family of Shomer Shabbos. So how long did he hold his breath for? He must have had the world record, whatever it was. But Harry, but the person goes into the water, he's completely submerged in the water. According to the Kesef Mishnah, while you are completely submerged in the mikvah, when you're completely submerged in the mikvah, you are tameh. So while you're in the mikvah, I'm holding my breath for 60 seconds, I touch someone. Do I contaminate him? Certainly do. I'm still tameh. When do I first become tahar? When I pick my head up out of the mikvah. Very big nafkin al halacha. You can contaminate someone else when you submerge in the mikvah. He touched truma. I take truma with me into the mikvah and I touch it. I'm in metamet, yeah?
If he's in the mikvah, he's coming to
it. Yeah?
Right.
Touching it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, you transfer
tonic. The person never submerged his entire body. You're in the two people in the mikvah. One person.
Until
you come up, according to the Kesef Mishnah. According to the Kesef Mishnah, the tahara does not come upon the person until he comes up. While he's in the water, he remains tameh. You have two people in the mikvah. One is standing in the mikvah, so it's not called a halachic immersion, because standing his head's above the water. Another person is completely submerged. He has not come up yet for the very first time. According to the Kesef Mishnah, he's tameh. While he's submerged in the water, he's still tameh. And while he's submerged in the water, he now touches the other person that's standing in the mikvah. And that person until now was tar. So by me touching him, I'm now contaminating him, right, even though I am completely submerged in the mikvah. But if you learn not like the Kesef Mishnah, like most other Mefarshim, they learn that when the person is completely submerged in the mikvah, before you come up already, that you have achieved the state of tahara. So once you have you're submerged in the mikvah, now if you touch someone, you have no power to contaminate anyone.
Well, I don't understand. There's something I don't understand.
Yeah.
When I go to the mikvah, sometimes there's a guy who has a toilet in the mikveh.
Yeah.
And he's already started the toilet before I even come into the mikveh, and he's still toileting when I'm going out of it. Now, I don't understand.
What is he doing in the air?
Takes place when Please, out
once,
mikveh,
yeah.
All this stuff.
No, every time you leave, is another tahara. You ever see a guy in the mikvah, they put their finger up 100 times?
Yeah.
Right, so what are they doing?
But he's still called a submersion.
Every time you lift your finger up, that's called coming out. Right. You don't have to remove your entire body. You don't have to remove your entire body.
Oh.
Removing part, as long as you're no longer submerged,
right,
activates the tahara.
Right.
So there is such a thing. There is, okay, a maker hadin, like, now let's, with another very, the Mishnah Berurah says, when a person goes to mikvah, he should be titled three times. You should dip three times. Chet pesha avon tahara. There's a Rambam. Everyone is very busy with this Rambam. The Rambam says a person that's tovel more than once, pamayim harei ze megune. A woman or a man that is tovel more than one time, it's not a good thing. You only tovel a mikvah once. There's no purpose. No, not. That's the core. What exactly does the Rambam mean when the Rambam said that if you tovel more than once, it's megune, there is something wrong? There's a debate. So if you want to take it very literally, it's coming to make a statement that this custom of dipping more than one time, 100 times, some total 310 times. The gematria carry. Men go to mikvah today primarily for carry. Tfilas Ezra, that's called carry. Carry kuf reshiud. Kuf reshiud is the gematria 310. There's something called the sigta. Who's going to go? And up, you move your finger up and down 310 times. You got it in your mind. Obsessive, OCD. But it's brought down. I'm not making this brought down such a thing. All right, but the Rambam says doing it more than one time is mugun. That would appear the Rambam does not hold this. Once you have achieved tahara, there's no purpose. You're not going to gain anything extra by dipping another time. But there are many, there are a lot of different interpretations of what it means. He has pages and pages trying to all of the collection. What the Rambam say about the Shram, what the Rambam means, and basically it's Miyashiv, why people have the custom to dip three times, seven times, and so on and so forth. Okay, let's put that aside. Let's go to another idea. Now let's just talk about something this is something totally new to me. I never heard of this. I think it's very bizarre. Yes, the very Talmud Chacham, I asked him this yesterday on the way when I went home from yeshiva, and he told me he heard about this. He never knew about this until a certain time. Someone told him. There is such a thing, again, this is very bizarre. That's why I'm telling you these things, things that we've never heard of before. We all are very familiar that an Ovel davens for the Amud, he says Kaddish, does Mishnayis, he does mitzvos, so that he should benefit the departed, the mace. Person has a relative, you say Kaddish. By saying Kaddish, we have a Muna that brings an aliyah to the neshama of that person. Correct? You make a siyum, you do a mitzvah, You give $1 billion to put your name on the building, right? You're doing things that will be an aliyah for the neshama. There is such a thing. He devotes an entire chapter to this. It's bizarre as it seems. Bizarre as it seems. When a person goes to the mikveh, and he's already in the mikveh, and he dips himself in the mikveh an additional time, and this additional tzvila shall serve as an aliyah for the neshama of a neshama, a relative, whatever, of the departed. There's such a concept. A tzvila le'aliyas nishmas.
My son does it for his mother.
You heard this. You heard this concept. Then you remember then the Satmar Rav. The Satmar Rav, he writes a story that in Chodesh Iyar, in the Satmar community, there were many survivors from the Holocaust. And a lot of the people who died, who were taken away to the camps, it occurred during the same period of time, Chodesh Iyar. And basically everyone, I guess when Samuel Rav was alive, going back a number of years, everyone had yard sites for their parents, grandparents, the same day. The same day, the same week. And how many minyanim already could you make? Even among the Hasidim, you can't make that many minyanim. So there was a lot of fighting going on, that people wanted to daven, and it wasn't possible enough to go around for everyone in the community. So the Satmar Rav told the people, he told them, davening is not the only thing you do that serves as an aliyah from the neshama. There are many things you can do. You can learn mishnayos, you can do this, you can do that. And he told them, go to the mikvah. Going to the mikvah is a bizarre thing to understand. We relate to saying Kaddish, because when you say Kaddish, you say Yehi Shmei Rabbah. It's intellectual. The mind is involved. But as bizarre as it seems, the Satmar Rav told them, go to the mikvah. You go to the mikvah, there's such a concept. Being toivel in the mikvah serves as an aliyah to the neshama of the nifter. Okay, I'm not suggesting anyone to do this. We don't go to mikvah, many people here, but I'm just saying we should be aware of such a concept, and what it means, obviously, is a little bit beyond us. Yeah.
Maybe this is way out, but I was thinking for an ordinary mitzvah, the mace has Tyra.
Yeah.
But in the case of a victim of the Holocaust,
yeah.
Have the benefit of
I don't know what these things mean. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, this is another very bizarre idea. And there's discussion. When you go to a mikvah, I assume all the mikvahs you've gone to, you've seen are square. What about around the mikvah? Is there a hakpada not to construct a circular mikvah? So believe it or not, this is a big topic. This is a big topic if it's proper.
Why should it make a difference for the square?
Oh, halacha doesn't make any difference. There's no question. Being that everything about a mikvah is Kabbalistic. Is Kabbalistic. Uh-huh. Is there an inyan that it should be square? This occupies the many tshuvas, many gedolei Yisrael. And some say it's a total mishagas, doesn't make one bit of a difference. And then there are those that are very makbid, it should be bedafka square or rectangular. The Gemara says, what is the size of the mikvah? Amma al amma berum gimel amas. That's clearly a square. You want to preserve the dimensions of the mikvah. You're not going to have exactly one amma, but it should be in these dimensions. Chazal did not give us a volume. Chazal gave us the shoe, went out of the way to describe the mount, the mem saw. They could have just said it's the mem saw. They could have defined the volume of a mikvah in many ways. The fact they chose to define the volume in a way of amma al amma berum gimel amos, according to some, is an indication that there is something to it. For example, all mitzvos, all of our mitzvos are square. The mizbeach is square. The tefillin are square. Dalet kanfei tzitzis are square. You go through all the mitzvos. There is no, all mitzvos are square. The teva nature is round. Ein meruba b'maisei bereishis. So, what is a mikvah? What are you doing when you're going into a mikvah? That itself is a question. Someone, when a person goes to the mikvah pikabal, you're going back into your mother's womb. You're returning to your fetal state. Your fetal state. So that would mean the mikvah should be round, because you're going back to the tevig, or someone going back to the time of maisei bereishis. Are we connecting to teva? Are we doing some man-made perfection? Anything that's man-made, even mitzvos, is always defined in terms of squares. anything that is in terms of teva, nature, the purity, elokai neshama shnasati b'tahorihi, you're going back to a state of perfection of nature, then adarabah, circle is something which is more, it touches upon this idea of round versus square, touches upon very mystical things about what is, what are you trying to accomplish when you go into a mikvah? Yeah.
In the basic English, the kiar
was round. Excellent. The yam shel shlomo. The yam shel shlomo was square on the bottom, and then it became circular on top. It had both. It's a very bizarre thing. A square base, and then with a round, the top of the yam shel shlomo was round. So, and that was used as a mikvah. It had both. A mikvah, it's a very strange concept, a mikvah. A mikvah is not a place that you can, that's sustainable. It's not an existence that you can continue to exist. That's what one of the tzaris of the Beis Yosef said. The Torah was not given l'malachi hasharis. If the Torah comes when you're in the mikvah itself, when you are submerged in the mikvah itself, it's not logical. It should be an environment where you can't survive. How long can you hold your breath in the mikvah? A minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes? It comes a point in time you can't hold your breath anymore. Being submerged in the mikvah is not a place where a human being can survive. You need air. You need oxygen. Where is the oxygen? The oxygen is above ground. It's only a temporary makom where you submerge for the moment. So, you know, the kes, going back to the chakir, the kesef mishnah. Kesef mishnah says, when you go into the mikvah, there's no tara. Submerging in the mikvah is just a prerequisite to achieve tahara when you emerge, when you come up from the mikvah. That makes sense because the Torah was not given to Malachi Hasharis. The Torah was given to me with Tahara Adam. Tahara has to be in an environment that can be sustained, that we can exist. You can exist above ground, above the water where there's oxygen. You can't exist in a makom of mayim. It's not shayich. That's where the tahara is, in a place where you can't exist. Does that make sense? So, what are you trying to do when you go into a mikvah? Are you going into a different world? You're going into the before Ma'aseh Bereishis, and now you, when you come out of the mikvah, you're coming back into a new Berea. That would fit in line that the mikvah is a makom of the Berea, which is defined in terms of circles. But if you want to define in terms of something that's more man-made, then it would be in terms of square. Okay, let's go running out of time. One other quick thing. You go into a mikvah, there are two ways the mikvos are made, are made kosher. They have the bar. Going to the rainwater collects, right? The rainwater collects, and it's stored in what's called the bar, and then we have the part where we enter, and that is filled with tap water, water from the.
I'm sure.
From the pipes from the city. And how was the mikvah made kosher? So there are two ways that it's done. Number one, something called Zuriya. Zuriya is where before the water goes into the tub where we enter, it's first poured directly onto the bar. We have a bar that's filled with 40 saw of rainwater, kosher water, and water from the tap. It's poured on and overflows, and when it overflows, it fills up the mikvah. That is called zuriya. So now make believe here is the part, the green is where you're gonna go in. This is where people enter, and this little box is my bar. Okay, this box has in it 40 saw of kosher rainwater. That's a real kosher mikvah. How do I fill up this massive tub that can hold 5 people at a time? How do I fill it up? I don't directly pour water into this location. I pour water into this little box that has 40 saw, and it overflows. And as it overflows, it pours into the main section. That technique of making the water in the mikvah kosher by pouring the water, the tap water, into the bar and having it overflow is called zuriya. It's called seeding, planting. The water comes in contact, the tap water comes in contact with the regular water, it overflows and it's kosher. There's another technique which is called hashaka. I don't pour water into this compartment, I pour water directly into this mikvah, and then I pull the plug, And there's a chibur, there's a connection between this little pit and now that chibur, it's called hashaka. The two waters kiss, and now this automatically becomes kosher. Many mikvahs, the more, every mikvah is different. You can't generalize because every single mikvah is built differently. There will be a lot of chumras, there are a lot of hidurim, chumras, men's mikvah, women's mikvah. Women, they're much more machmir on all the halachas how to build a woman's mikvah. Men's mikvahs, some of them, they're done in a very shvach, they're not all that.
Most of them are shaka, no?
Alright, most are done through Ashok, but some of the better mikvahs have both. They do both. They fill it up through Zuriyah, and then they do Hashoka as well. And there's a very big question, is Hashoka, is it in an independent form of koshering the mikvah, or is Hashoka an extension of Zuriyah? That's a very big nafkamina. Nafkamina is, you go into a mikvah, most of the mikvahs I'm familiar with, they fill up the mikvah, they pull out the plugs for a second, and by doing so, they make chibur with the small mikvah, and the mikvah now is kosher, and then they put the plugs back inside. Some men, when they go into the mikvah, they're machmir to pull out the plugs. While they immerse in the mikvah, the plug should be taken out. What is this chumra all about? Why are some people machmir to take out the plugs, and some people are machmir not to do it once? You do it once, you make the mikvah kosher, you can put the plugs back inside. The question is hashaka an extension of zuriyah, or is hashaka called chibur? Salam shachakira. If hashaka, when you take out the plugs and you make a connection, is called chibur, so according to some of the achrayim, some of the rishonim, in fact, it's only good as long as the connection is open. So that would require a person to have the plugs removed when he's actually immersing in the mikvah. The Mekilim rely on the opinions and the rishonim that hold that hashaka, when you is an extension of zuriyah. Just like when you pour water directly on top of the pit, on the bar, and it overflows into the main cavity, that's called zuriyah. And once it's done, it's good forever. You don't have to do anything more. When you do hashaka, that's an extension of zuriyah. It only needs to be done once, and that's good enough. L'may nafkamina. Here's the very big nafkamina. This is the milyalach l'maysa. There are some people, not common among us, I don't believe, who go to mikvah on Shabbos. People go to mikvah on Shabbos. Let's say they fill up the mikvah and they forget to pull the plugs before Shabbos. Are you allowed to open up the plugs on Shabbos to make the mikvah kosher? What? So is that called a tikkun? A spiritual tikkun is not necessarily a tikkun. So he writes, there's a beautiful shul Torah in this. He writes, basically, that's the nafkamina. If you learn that hashaka is an extension of zuriyah, which results in the leniency that you don't have to keep the plugs open 24/7. You only need to keep the plugs open for a second in order to make the mikvah kosher. Then that would result in a chumrah. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Zuriyah is considered to be a very significant tikkun. It would be forbidden to do it on Shabbos. But if you hold that hashaka is not an extension of zuriyah, hashaka is an independent method of chibur, of connecting the mikvah. So although it results in a chumrah, in a stringency of that you have to keep the plugs open when you immerse in the mikvah, it would result in a leniency that it's not called anything significant other than a connection between two bodies of water, and it would be permitted to be done on Shabbos as well. It does something very practical. It used to be in the olden days, some people, they put the bar underneath the main mikvah. Here's by the main mikvah, and here's the bar. The bar was underneath. That way, when you fill up the mikvah, you automatically, it's making contact with the bar underneath. You have zuriyah, and you have hashaka, you have alamaylis. But it's not such a mild, because they discovered zuriyah. Rainwater has a thicker density. Has a thinner density than tap water. Tap water is a fascinating concept. Tap water is thicker. Not all H2O is the same. Tap water is thicker than rainwater. Also, the tap water is hot. The rainwater is cold. These two factors, they've done tested with food coloring. They put food coloring. Ideally, you don't want the pure rainwater to mingle with the regular water. You want to maintain pure rainwater in the bar. If the pure rainwater gets diluted, through constantly opening up the plugs and through movement, then not all opinions hold the mikveh is still kosher. L'chatchila, ideally, according to everyone, it's a ravid. According to the ravid, in order for the mikveh to be kosher, you have to have at least the majority of your original bar. If you have the bar underneath, that is rainwater, and you have on top, you have a little teeny hole in the bar, and then you have the regular tub, and it connects to Ashaka, over a very short period of time, and it can be proven using food coloring, you will discover all of the water in the bar, the rainwater, will rise to the top and be displaced by the heavier water, tap water. And then according to the Ravid, you no longer have a bar that's full of pure rainwater, which would not be lost. Therefore, they don't do that anymore. Today, they don't make the bar underneath, they make the bar on the side. They make the bar on the side, and they do hashaka, and they really have a double bar. They have a bar. The way they make most mikvos today is a double bar. There's a bar on the bottom, another bar, filled with rainwater. In between the top and the bottom, there's a very teeny little hole, and the bottom is pure water. The water on top is not as pure, and they do hashaka to the top, and that way they fill it up by pouring the water on the top bar. That way you get all the milas is to have a double bar in between this bar and this bar. You have a little teeny hole connecting them on the side, not like the olden days underneath, and they fill it up by pouring the water on this bar, it overflows, and then they also do hashaka, keep the plugs out to the bar on top, and you have alamilas. Okay, we'll stop here.